We are wrapping up our series on What Child Is This? And so each Sunday we've had a little drama and then the message as it relates to different people who were asking that question. What child is this? Whether it was the shepherds in the field or the wise men that came from afar or Joseph and Mary. And today we've looked at them sort of answer that question. It's the Christ child. It's the Messiah. It's the promised one, the one who came to save us from our sins. The angel said, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If you have your Bible and can turn to Luke chapter 2 this morning, we're looking at the subject of waiting for Jesus. Waiting for Jesus. I was thinking this week as a young boy, I remember as a child, one of the longest nights of the whole year was Christmas Eve. Because we knew that on Christmas morning, presents would be there to unwrap. And I also remember we had always put pressure on mom and dad. Please, could we open at least one? Just one. Just one. And eventually that became a sort of a ritual in our household that on Christmas Eve you could pick one gift under the tree that had your name on it. And we were always excited about that. But you know, as soon as you opened that one, what you wanted to do with the rest of them? You wanted to open them too. I remember as a young child, my brother and I would share a room and my sisters would be right next door. And I remember for whatever reason, I'm not the oldest, my brother's the oldest in our family, but I would be like the policeman of the children. And I'd go around saying, if you don't go to sleep, Santa's not coming. Boy, that put the fear of God in them, didn't it, you know? Oh, okay. And I would tell my brother, I said, Phil, you have to act like you're asleep. We have to lay there with our eyes closed. And of course, eventually we would fall asleep and we'd wake up in the morning. My father was pretty inventive because there were some occasions he had access, and I don't know where it came from, but he had access to a Santa suit. And one time early in the morning, he would wake us all up with a ho, 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 and like to scare us to death, but we were so excited. And then he'd say, I got more stops to make. And he'd run out the door, and we'd say, Mom, did you see Santa? No, I was in the other room. And, well, where's Dad? Well, he went to get something. He'll be back soon. And, you know, as a little child, you, wow, Dad, you missed Santa. Oh, and I remember other times we were at our cousin's for Christmas. And my father, this is deduction from a later perspective, was outside the window with jingle bells, with some bells rattling those, as though Santa's sleigh had just taken off the roof. And of course, when I stayed with my cousins, the boys stayed up in the attic. There was no insulation there, but there was a chimney that went up there. And we'd get around that chimney like, how's he going to get down here? Well, and then we thought, well, wait a minute, if he gets down here, there's not a fireplace. There's a stove down. How does he get in the stove, out the door? Well, there were some questions that us as kids had no answers for. So, but later in life, it all came to us gradually, and we figured out how he could do that. Okay. But the longest night of the year for little children was Christmas Eve, because you had to stay asleep And you'd wake up until your little eyes couldn't open anymore, and you'd fall asleep late at night, almost 11. Late at night for a little kid, a child, and you fall asleep, and you wake up in the morning, and what a blessing it was. It was Christmas Day. Well, you know, back in the New Testament, we find that those characters who were all a part of the birth of our Savior, they too had to wait, but much more than just a night. In fact, we find that people were waiting for centuries for the birth of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now, in Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 25, we see the story of an aged man who has been given a promise that he would live long enough to see the Messiah born on earth. His name is Simeon, and he serves in the temple day and night. And while he's there every day, he thinks this could be the day. And yet day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year has passed, and yet it's not been the day that that Messiah would be presented to the world. But one day, all of that changes when a young couple come in with their newborn son. And God says, that's him. That's him, Simeon. That's the hope of Israel. That's the promise to humanity. That's the Savior of the world. And it changed everything. All those long years of waiting were worth it all when he saw baby Jesus. In this passage, we're going to read about that, and we're going to be looking at waiting for Jesus. Now, it may be you're here this morning and you're still waiting. Because, see, we've not found Jesus till that day we personally invite him into our lives. For me, I was a 9-year-old boy. My mother and father started going to church when I was 8, and I had a Bible. I sang the songs. I knew some memory verses. But I never realized it was a personal decision. And at 9 years of age, I made that decision to make Jesus my Savior. I invited him into my heart, and I haven't had to wait any longer. But it's amazing that people come to Christ at all different ages. I've seen people come to Christ very up in years, in their 90s. I've seen people come to faith in Christ. I've had the privilege of leading people to Christ just hours before they slipped into eternity. We come at all different ages. We come in all different ways. But the one thing in common, it's the same Savior, Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if we come to Christ using English or Spanish or French or any of the other languages of the world. And you may be in America, you may be in Canada, you may be in South America, you may be in Asia. And it really doesn't matter where we are, it's the same Jesus that we all trust. For he's the one who died for all. And with that as a little background, let's look at the story of Simeon and let's see his waiting. If you found chapter 2, could we stand together? Starting at verse 25, we'll read down through verse 35. And then you may be seated. If you're not able to stand, feel free to remain seated. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let me stop right here and say the word Christ, that is not the last name of Jesus, Jesus Christ. It wasn't Mary Christ, Joseph Christ. That was his not last name. That's the title. The title means anointed one. It's the same as Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus, the anointed one. And in verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer, and then you may be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to assemble on Christmas Eve, as we commemorate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son. And Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for what Christ has done in bringing salvation to all who believe. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's not a Christian, I pray that even today would be a day for their salvation. And Lord, for the rest of us, we are so indeed thankful, grateful for not only the salvation of our souls, but the change in our lives, the peace, the joy, the hope, the love that you have filled our hearts with. So bless these thy good people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible says of Simeon that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That means he was waiting for the promise that God had given to the nation. And what we find in Scripture is that all of God's people were waiting for a long, long time. You see, the promise of the Messiah didn't just come in the last 10 years as they awaited the birth of the Savior. That promise had been given to God way back in the beginning of Scripture. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, what's interesting is this was a prophetic promise given by God, but it was given to the serpent who beguiled Eve. And so God is speaking to the devil as Satan took that form of a serpent. And the devil is given a promise that one day the seed of a woman will wipe you out. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to take out your head. And let me say, if you have to choose which to get hit, your heel's painful, but it's far better for you than your head getting hit. And so Jesus Christ is prophetically foretold, even to the devil and for all of us, because Moses recorded it in Scripture, chapter 3, verse 15 of Genesis. And so since that day, they were waiting for the promised Messiah, the seed of a woman. Now, that was so interesting because anyone understanding biology knew that that wasn't going to take place without a miracle. Because it was talking and introducing the virgin-born birth of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what people understood. They knew it to be a miraculous birth. So it wasn't a child that was born of a husband and a wife that became the Messiah or became the anointed one, they knew that this child had to come from God. This child was the hand of a miracle by the hand of God. And so all those years they waited and they waited. And every once in a while they would find someone who was powerfully used of God, and they would wonder, is this the Messiah? By the way, you recall in the New Testament, they saw the ministry of John the Baptist and how powerfully he preached and how he brought people together and had great baptismal services by the River Jordan as people would repent and turn toward God. And even some ask him, art thou that prophet? And that's the way they asked the question. They didn't know the right terminology. They didn't say, are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? In the Old Testament, it was known as that prophet, that man sent from God. Are you that man sent from God? And John the Baptist says, no, it's not me. It's not me. My mother's Elizabeth, my father's Zacharias. It was a miraculous birth in that they were in their old age, but it was a human birth. And yet God had a supernatural birth in mind when he chose Mary. And so they were waiting, they were waiting. Now the interesting thing about Simeon is he was the only person that we know of in Scripture that God made a promise through the Holy Spirit and said, you're going to live to see the day. Now, I don't know how old he was when he was made that promise. Maybe he was in his 20s. Maybe in his 30s. I know in Jewish custom, you were not considered a man until you were 30 years of age. Sorry for all of you who are younger than that, but that's just the facts. You were considered a man when you were 30. I'm glad I'm twice the man. Some of us up here, Brother Burl Yeats, is three times the man. Great men of God. And so they were waiting. I don't know how old he was. Maybe he was 40. Maybe. But I get the picture that this is a very aged man of God. He's a godly man and he's been serving in the temple. But without a doubt, you have to reach the conclusion. He's up in years. I don't know if God came to him when he was 60 and said, you're going to live. But anyway, he knew that he was going to live long enough to see the Messiah. And oh, how he waited and he waited and he waited. Can you just imagine waking up every morning and saying to yourself, this could be the day. This could be the day. By the way, as believers, this could be the day for his second coming. And every day we should wake up saying, this could be the day. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. In other words, made of a woman. He was of the seed of the woman. So Jesus Christ was the exact fulfillment of what Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 tells us. A supernatural birth, born of a virgin. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, she said, how can this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the Bible says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and that which is born of you shall be of the highest. Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. All of God's people were waiting for the promise. Now, all of them knew that the Messiah would one day come, but only Simeon understood it would be in his lifetime. You can imagine as you're getting older, and you're thinking, I wonder if it will still be in my lifetime. I remember growing up in a good church, and my pastor would preach a lot about the end times and the second coming of Christ. And right up to the day he went to heaven, my pastor thought, I think I'm going to live to see Jesus come back. By the way, that didn't hurt him, that helped him. Because he was a very godly man. And the Bible says if we'll have that hope in us, it will prompt us to righteous living, no doubt. Because we'll be expecting that today could be the day that Jesus Christ comes back again. And we know we're not saved by our works, we're saved by his grace. But at the same time, we want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant, instead of, what you doing? We want to be doing right. Amen? That's right. We want to be in the right place, at the right, doing the right things, thinking the right thoughts, all of those things. Just because we want the favor of our Savior, we already have that in salvation when you invited Christ in your life, but we want that, well done, thy good and faithful servant. All of God's people were waiting for the promise. All surrounding his birth were waiting. Oh, yeah. You recall the angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a child. But wait a minute, she has to wait for that child. Joseph's told by Gideon in a dream, or not Gideon, but the angel of God, the Bible says, angel of the Lord, in a dream. He said, you're going to have, Mary's going to have a child, and that's born of the Holy Ghost. And she did nothing wrong and explains the situation to him. But still, he has to wait 9 months. So, you know, after a while, it's pretty much the same. There's really not much evidence. You recall that as soon as the angel told Mary that she was going to have a child, she went to visit her Aunt Elizabeth, because the angel also said that Elizabeth is 6 months with child. And you know, a little bit of biology, she's only expecting for, you know, a week or so. And so she's not showing, there's no characteristics, she's not getting morning sickness or any of those things. But she goes and visits her aunt, and as soon as she steps in the door, well, John the Baptist, who is in the womb of Elizabeth, is 6 months old, and he starts doing somersaults, jumping up and down for joy. And she goes, whoa! And John the Baptist, and then she gets filled with the Holy Ghost and starts prophesying and saying, how does the mother of my Lord come to visit me? Well, it's her niece, but it's the mother of my Lord. And you hear this talk back and forth, Elizabeth praising God and then Mary praising God. And you can see it's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. And by the way, if you haven't figured out how precious life is, remember that Jesus at this point was probably just a week or two old. I mean, honestly, He's pretty tiny inside Mary's womb, and yet Mary is carrying the mother of our Lord, a person of value, the Son of God. Every child conceived is a person of value, according to the Word of God. That's not taking a political census. That's not asking, what do people in America think? What do people... If you look at the Word of God, you see there's a value in every life conceived. Not just every life born. And so it was with our Savior. But they had to wait these 9 months until finally in Bethlehem, baby Jesus was born. You think of the wise men, they had to wait. It took them a while to figure out the understanding of the stars and the meaning of it, but after they saw the stars and they understood its meaning, they still had to travel almost 600 miles as a bird would fly or as an airplane would fly, but almost 900 to 1,000 miles as the trade routes would go. And that took a long time, traveling by foot or on camel's back. And so for month after month after month, they waited, they waited, they waited. And then finally they got to the land of Israel and they didn't know where the child would be until they checked with Herod, and Herod checked with some scribes, and some scribes checked with the Word of God. And Micah chapter 5 verse 2 came up that Bethlehem would be the place. Simeon and Anna waited for the day the babe would be brought into the temple. Simeon, of course, was told that he would see the child born, or see the young child before he died. Anna, on the other hand, did not, but she lived for that hope. She served in the temple hoping that she could see God's salvation to humanity, the Savior, the Messiah. And the Bible says she had lived there from her widowhood, like 80 years. Now, I'm not sure if it's saying she's in her 80s or since she got married and her husband passed away, it's been 80 years. Either way, she's way up in years. And yet there she is serving night and day, the Bible says, in the temple. And then finally, Simeon, you know, he holds that baby and looks up to heaven and says, "Lord, you can take me home now. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." And I can just imagine him giving that baby back into the arms of Mary or Joseph and then said, "Oh, I know someone else who, I know, wait, stay right there. I know someone else who would love to see that baby." So he goes off. He says, "Hey, Anna, Anna, Anna." "Yes, Simeon." "I'm sorry, I'm a little hard of hearing, but I heard it the third time." "What do you want, Simeon?" Simeon says, "I found him. I found him." And I says, found. "Are you saying you found the one that God told you you'd live long?" "Yes, I found him." Anna says, could I see him? "You think they'd let me hold him? Come on, Anna. They're a nice couple. I think they will." I think Anna goes over here with Simeon and he's grinning big. And they get over here and they said, "Sir, miss, that baby's special. That's the Messiah. That's the Son of God. That's the Savior of all humanity." And Joseph said, "That's what we were told." And Mary says, "I believe it too. God's in this." And Simeon says, "Would you mind if my friend Anna holds your baby?" And I think she's over there holding that baby. Imagine holding God in your hands. Isn't that an amazing thing? The joy that had to fill her heart. She was waiting. She was waiting. You see, all of them were waiting for the birth of the Savior. The only ones who didn't have to wait long, they were the shepherds. Because the shepherds were told, "This night there's born in Bethlehem a Savior." And then as soon as they heard, they just had to wait from the hilltop to down in the valley into the city of Bethlehem, there to the stable, there to the manger, and then voila, there they are. So they wait at the least. But people were waiting, 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 waiting for the Savior. And you know, today we're not waiting for His birth, but we're waiting for His return. Way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God had promised His birth, His coming. But in the New Testament, He promises His second coming. He says in John chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, just like in the Old Testament, people lived and died waiting for the promise until one day the promise came. And so it is in this New Testament age that we live and we die and we wait and we wait and we wait. But just as sure as the first coming came according to His promise, the second coming will come again according to His promise. The good news is the Bible tells us if we miss waiting out, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if Jesus does not come back in our lifetime, at least we get to wait in heaven. And that'll be an exciting time as well. But may I say, while you're waiting, you can enjoy His presence. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Christ lives in me. You see, I didn't realize that when I was just a 9-year-old boy and I gave my heart to Christ and I asked Christ to live in me. I knew that He would save me from my sins. I knew I would be forgiven. I knew that heaven would be my home. But what I didn't realize at that young age is the relationship that Christ would have with me every day of my life from that point onward. But that's exactly what Jesus Christ came for, is to have a relationship with us. And that's why He was born, and that's why He lived, and that's why He died, is to have an eternal relationship with us. You see, folks, the very reason He wants us in heaven is not so we enjoy the beauty of heaven, but He wants us there so He can have fellowship with us for all eternity. Let me encourage you, don't wait till you see Jesus to have fellowship. Have fellowship today with Jesus. This morning I got up and had my Bible and had time to have fellowship with Jesus and let the Word of God speak to my heart from the book of Hebrews. God wants to fellowship with your lives every single day. If you're here this morning and you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ, He came to have fellowship with you. Christmas is all about Jesus bringing salvation to the world. And boy, if you miss that, you've missed what Christmas is. It's not about the manger, and it's not about the scenery and the shepherds and the angel. It's about salvation that Christ brought for every single one of us. Now, it could be that you were raised up in church and you know a little bit of that, and you know a little bit of that theology and the thinking and what was taught. But you're asking yourself, I wonder if that's real. I wonder if that's really real. The thing about Christianity, the only way to know it's really real is to invite Christ in your life. In the book of Psalms, David says this, O taste and see that the Lord is good. I like to paraphrase that, Jesus saying, try me, you'll like me. Try me, you'll like me. If you just trust Christ as your Savior, Jesus will prove to you how real He is. And all He needs is an open heart. You see, Jesus is the perfect gentleman. He will never go into anyone's life uninvited. But if you'll invite Him, He'll come into your life. The Bible says He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, might be, hope to be, shall be saved. The Bible tells us if we'll open up our heart to Christ, He'll come in. He'll save you. He'll save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. Now, Jesus is the Savior of the world. There's nothing like Him. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said it this way, I am the truth, the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only source. You can spend your whole life checking every other source out and be sadly disappointed. I'm not trying to put down someone else's religion. I am trying to hold up Jesus. Because Jesus is the subject of this blessed book, the Word of God. Try me, you'll like me. If you're here this morning and want Christ in your life, I hope that you'll invite Him in. And for the rest of us who've already done that, why not enjoy His presence every single day? Don't wait till you get to heaven to enjoy Jesus. Enjoy Him today and tomorrow and every day of your life when you spend time with Him.